Today's reading is from Ephesians 4, verses 24 to chapter 5, verse 2. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. Clothe yourselves with the new self created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling, slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon the meditations of my mouth and of our hearts. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. A columnist named David Brooks wrote a great book called The Second Mountain. The idea is very simple. All of us spend time climbing a first mountain in life. Like success in a career or family, the first mountain is about us, what we are doing, who we are, what we want. But then life hits us, whether we're 20 or 70, and we are forced to come down the mountain into the valleys of life. That valley could be a failure of some sort, a devastating loss, a tragedy, an illness or disease. And that's where we come to a fork in the road. Life can go a couple of different ways. As we move through the valley, we can either shrivel up under our pain, allow it to take over our lives and turn us into unhappy people. Or we can grow because of the valley. Our hearts and lives can expand because we've seen how precious life is, because we've seen that life is more than success and it is more than just a focus on self. Ever had that realization? It's humbling, right? So after the valley, we start to climb a second mountain, which is very different. The second mountain is no longer self-focused. It's not about looking good or getting our own way. It's about something bigger, something eternal. It's about making commitments to people and community and God and having connections. Brooks talks specifically about making commitments on the second mountain to a vocation, to family or relationships, to faith, and to community. On the second mountain, we turn away from self and start to focus on others. Brooks believes that there are first and second mountains in whole communities, organizations, even our American society, which he argues is in a valley right now. Now, why does all this matter? Well, the pinnacle of that second mountain is a meaningful life full of joy. Brooks argues that our whole society is suffering without much joy right now because we are so individualistic, so self-centered, so preoccupied with our stuff, our power, our way. But there is a better way. And Paul is saying so this morning. This better way is not about us, it's about us together. And it's more than just good circumstances or feelings, it's about finding that joy. Paul urges all of us to let go of the old self, a self-focus, and put on Christ, a new self, and a new way of life. That's these verses today. It's not just a to-do list of rules, it's a description of life together as Christ followers. Paul's words were not written to individuals alone, but to a community about how to live in that community, kind of how the second mountain is about community. Brooks talks in his book about moving from independence to dependence on the second mountain. Now, those are hard words, especially during this pandemic, which has caused most of us to become isolated, very focused on ourselves. Some of that is necessary to keep healthy, but some of it is a negative byproduct of quarantine and working from home and doing so much on screens, whether it's school or work or church or just binging shows and movies. But here's the deal. We are still called to community, to share our lives and faith together, to be dependent upon God and one another. Our entire Bible shows the power of community because it began as stories passed around in communities. Jesus was a storyteller, telling stories to a community. The question for us today is, can we embrace this way of life that Paul is describing? Can we see how all these things could bring us together and help us climb that second mountain, focused not on ourselves but on others? Listen again to his words, this way of life that helps us imitate God. By the grace of God, we are called to speak the truth because we are members of one another. Get angry, but do not sin. Don't hold grudges. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. We're called to work honestly, to not speak evil, only what builds up. We are called to not grieve the Holy Spirit or live in bitterness or wrath or malice, but to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving. This is what it means to be imitators of God as beloved children, to live in love as Christ loved us. A life of love, doesn't that sound good? And we all know that kind of life leads to joy. And who doesn't need some joy right now? I know I do. So how can we embrace this idea of coming together, of living well in community, while we still might be at home due to pandemic? I think these words still apply. We are called to have commitments and connections however we can in this strange time. Sometimes it might be through Zoom or the phone or outdoors or on porches. But when possible, it's best to be in person with other believers. Electronic worship is awesome for those who cannot get to church because of the virus or other issues. It is a lifesaver. But we are still called to be connected to the body of Christ. We need that to build up the body and be God's light in the world. It's hard for us to know and follow what God is doing in the world when we're not connected to each other. It's also hard for us to encourage each other in all these ways of life that Paul lists here. I mean, how do we know when we are speaking to build up one another or if we're being tender-hearted or forgiving if we don't have connection? Left alone, we have neither encouragement nor accountability. And as one member said to me this week, we also miss opportunities to work out our differences or agree to disagree. The truth is, we are not our own and we are not on our own. We are members of one another, just as Paul says. Think about that. We are that connected. And as we make decisions on how to live, those decisions affect our whole community. We are each called to imitate God in our lives and our lives together. This is the way to new life and joy. Each of those things Paul encourages us to do and be, it helps us live in this new way, imitating Christ. So it might be helpful for us to just think about how we imitate other people. I mean, who are your role models? What have they taught you? I've been thinking a lot about that as I get ready for my dad's memorial next month. We all have people in our lives who we hope to imitate, don't we? Kids are naturally this way, imitating the adults all around them, much to our chagrin. Ever had your kids doing the very thing you wish they wouldn't imitate? We all imitate people. And we all have people who imitate us, which is a sobering thought. We imitate even the most basic things we do around the house, like folding clothes a certain way or loading the dishwasher. Ever notice how those things can cause fights? Because apparently we learn different ways, right? Imitating other people has limitations because people will fail us. We're not perfect. But imitating Jesus Christ, that's a different story. Paul urges us to put away the old self and put on the new self, aka the ways of Jesus, which is not easy. This is why we need each other. We need connection. We need the body of Christ. We need to know we are never, ever, ever alone. God is always with us. The body of Christ is always around us. Think about that. You are not alone, and your life is so much more than just you. We do make choices as individuals. We can choose what to do with our anger, our words, our hearts. We have a choice as a church and a community to do the same. And God certainly cares about what we put into our hearts and minds and bodies, about what we watch on the TV or the internet, what we read or hear or speak or learn. And God cares about all this as a family of faith. These are kind of like our standards. This is how FPC Mattawan lives together. When we live this way, it's a witness to our community. And it's a reason for people to come and join us. Don't we want to be able to say to our friends and neighbors and family, come see this loving family of faith. Come see where really diverse people come together to follow Jesus. Anyone remember Mr. Rogers from children's television? There's a neat book called The Simple Faith of Mr. Rogers by Amy Hollingsworth. Do you remember his calm and soothing voice, that compassion and grace and acceptance? He really made a positive impact on many lives. And his show was all about making good choices. But there was a hidden theology behind his program, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. He was, after all, an ordained Presbyterian pastor. His show, in the background, was based on the Good Samaritan and the Great Commandment. In fact, he prayed each day that the Spirit would help viewers to hear a word from God, because everyone is created in the image of God. That's why his characters in the neighborhood of make-believe dealt with real-life issues and showed forgiveness and grace. Although he was a television celebrity, he rarely watched television. One day, after seeing his grandson watch a children's show with guns and violence and hearing his grandson justify it because the people being shot are bad guys, he decided to write a public service announcement, which he sent out to local stations. And this is what he said. Some television programs are scary with people shooting and hitting. Well, you can do something about that. When you see scary television, you can turn it off. And when you turn it off, that will show you that you are the strongest of them all, for it takes a very strong person to turn off scary TV. Fred Rogers believed that we have a choice in what to do with our lives, and we can, with God's help, make good choices. You know that old slogan, WWJD? It's overused, but it's still a good one. What if we did stop to think about what would Jesus do in this situation? But Christian life, I mean, it's not just about following some rules. It's really about a relationship with Jesus, where Jesus is our primary role model and mentor, the one we want to imitate. Now, some people say a set of rules would be easier, but I mean, is that how you imitate your friends or mentors? No, we develop a relationship with them, right? We can think of those relationships right now. We could make a list of all the things the Bible tells us to do. Or we could read the Bible as we spend time with Jesus, deepening that relationship, which makes us more and more like him. Remember the Pharisees? They were the Jewish religious leaders of Jesus' day. And they lived by all 600 plus Levitical laws. Well, Jesus had a real problem with them because they were all about the rules and not about the love. In fact, he condemned them for looking good on the outside and not being good on the inside. We need that inner relationship, just like Jesus himself, who spent time with his heavenly Father, learning and growing in his faith. Think of all the times he withdrew from the crowds to be alone and pray. What if we did the same? The great thing is we always have Jesus with us. We have his body on earth, the church. We have his presence in one another. We have his Holy Spirit in our hearts. We can, in fact, imitate Christ if we are willing to spend time with him and if we are willing to be connected to his body, the church. That's our path to new life and to joy. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel today. We are called to be imitators of God in Jesus Christ, and we are given the freedom and the power to do that through a relationship with him. May we put away our old self and put on the new life given to us by Jesus. And for that new life, all God's people say together, Amen.